And applying, if you've been tormented with the lie, you're just going to have to apply it a lot more. And you're going to have to be consistent. How many know? If you're a parent and you do this thing right, you know that when you say no, your no needs to be no and your yes needs to be yes. The Bible says so. Let your no be no and your yes be yes. Can everybody get that? The devil has to know that your no is no and your yes to God is yes. No, I'm not doing what you want, devil. No, I'm not saying what you want, devil. No, I'm not thinking what you want, devil. No, I'm not because I'm not reacting to you. No, you have lost. And if you need and you will to find God's word and stay in God's word and speak what he says, there is power in the word. Amen? For real. All right. Beloved, I exhort you as pilgrims and strangers. That means we aren't supposed to fit in down here. Once we recognize we're an elect race, we are actually not supposed to get involved in all the mess that the world is fighting about. We're supposed to be light in darkness, not come down to darkness and hang out with it and think like it does. We're to bring people up into who they can be in Christ. Amen? For real. That's how we should minister to our children, to our spouses, to everyone. I exhort you. That means I really tell you this. You are pilgrims. You're strangers. Stay away from the lust that war against your soul. Stay away from the lust. Stay away from the lust. Stay away from pornography. Stay away from television shows. Stay away from the news sometimes. If the news starts trying to bring you out of your true identity in Christ, then turn off the channel and read what the word says. Begin to pray. Begin to intercede. Amen? This is serious stuff. And people want to win it, these serious battles, but they won't do what he says you have to do to resist the enemy. Have your behavior good among the nations, and that when they speak against you as evil, they'll observe your works, that in the day of God's visitation, they'll glorify God. In other words, you can say all the bad things you want about me, and people do, but they are observing my good behavior. And over time, your children really begin to recognize my mom knows God. Your spouse begins to recognize there really, it has been a blessing to watch you live this out the way God wants. And everybody begins to see that they know it's true. You know the great, if you know what I'm going to say to you when you come to me with a whiny story or a bully story or this or that, and you already know this is what she's going to say, that's good. As long as it's what this says, right? I used to say, what do you think I'm going to say? Are you going to tell me? Yes. Why? Because it's in the word. Yes. Now, why don't you agree with the word? Amen. Just agree with the word. All right. Then be in obedience to every creation of men because of the Lord, whether a king or one who's supreme, your governors, as through him having indeed been sent for vengeance on evildoers, but praise on well-doers. All right, let me explain this. And this isn't really, but this is, okay. Our response to authority can be bully. You're going to tell me what to do anymore. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. My mama said, Get me that camera. Yes, officer. Yes, teacher. What exactly do you want me to do? Excuse me, Pastor Cindy, could you say that a little louder? Yes, it's already on the radio. Don't worry about it. Bully, bully. I'll bully you. You bully me. Or, I don't know. I don't want to. What are they going to do? My rest. You know, they never fear. Okay. The heart of God. Now remember, people respond with bullying and being victims, even people in authority, right? Right? But the intentions of God are that authority is placed there to keep peace and divine order in a world full of people who don't know God. Okay? That's God's intention, right? And overall, it works. Unless you're in a nation that is completely, the more a nation is not loving, serving God, God-fearing, going to church and raising people to understand God, right? The more the authorities are also going to be demonic. As our nation has gotten further and further away from God, as our schools have gotten away from prayer in school and honoring God, as we're getting further and further away from anything that looks like authority with all the enabling and victim and the bully and everything else, right? The authorities are also being provoked. The authorities are bullying. The authorities are victim. It's all a big mess. Amen? God's heart is, you have to understand God's heart for authority. You have to make sure your children understand God's heart for authority. And then you get wisdom from God how to handle it, because your kids are taken care of by God. And I've said this and I'll say it again. I know we're running late, but here's the bottom line. My kids had a teacher who unintentionally picked on my kid because my kid was really tiny and short. My son was very sick. So it hurt me as a mom for my son to come home and say, I got to class first and everybody get to pick out their seat. And I picked out this seat right near the front that, you know, or not the front, but wherever, third row or whatever. And it was a big seat. And some of the desks are little teeny. And then Mr. Child, who's overgrown, comes in and all's left is a little seat. So the teacher, not intentionally trying to shame my son, tells my son, well, you get out of your seat and take this seat and let this kid have that seat. Crushed a little boy who is already feeling self-conscious because he has medical problems that makes him small, because he's struggling with all this medication and all these things he's going through while the devil's trying to kill him and his mother and father are praying to keep him alive and the doctors are trying to figure it out and we're trying to put him in a safe place, and here's a teacher who picks him to have to switch seats with another kid who's younger than him. It took everything that kid had that day to not burst out in tears. And so by the time he got home, he's fuming. I'm never going back to school. I hate that teacher. I wish she, you know, just really bad stuff. To where, as a godly parent, I can't enable him to not respect authority, even though she bullied him unintentionally. Had she even done it intentionally, it would have still had a negative effect on him, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? But I had to understand that making him God-fearing and submitted to authority was more important than me enabling him to be disobedient to God's word. So I had to say, could not give one thing, like, I agree, what a mean teacher, we're going to go smack her upside the head and we're going to get her job and we're going to bully her. No, I had to pray for wisdom, because I love my son and I saw what he was going through, and I knew she probably didn't understand that, but I'm thinking it was still the enemy who signaled him out. And I said to my son, here's what the Bible says. Concept. We either go to your teacher and you tell her how much this hurt you, and you tell her that it wasn't fair that every kid in the class got to pick out their seat and you were there on time and you picked out your seat and you want that seat, and she needs to go to another classroom and find a seat for that kid. Or we will go to the principal and we will say, this wasn't fair that she made my son the exception to the rule because some kid came in late. And then we let her explain why she did what she did. Because she may just say, oh, I just looked, you're the first person I saw, and this put, I don't think she intentionally hurt you. But you can't go around bitter and angry. I said, so we go and we tell her, or you forgive her right now, you pray for her, and you recognize she didn't mean to intentionally hurt you. And you just ask God to put you in the seat he wants you in. Amen? So after, he finally, I don't want to go and talk to her. I think she probably meant it. But it really hurt. I said, okay, well, let's pray. Do you know when he came back the next day, the teacher had switched. She had found another seat for the other kid, and he got the seat he originally wanted. Something without anything being said. Why? Because we prayed and we blessed her and we asked God to work this thing out. I didn't make him rebellious. I didn't accept rebellion. I didn't accept him coming against the teacher, even though I felt she did do something wrong, even though it may have been unintentional. Even if it was intentional, you handle it biblically. You don't create something that God can't bless. Amen? Amen. Is that cool? I'm not saying everything's fair. It's not fair. Amen. There is bullying. There is being victims. But we are a royal priesthood. We have a God who can change the heart of a king. And don't pretend he cannot change the heart of the Supreme Court. I am so tired of prophets calling in the towel before they even know how to pray and get the stuff out of their own hearts. Don't prepare me for defeat. Let me get my heart right so the scripture that says, if my people called by my name would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and then pray, he'll heal their land. How about we deal with our wicked ways and our proudful hearts and then believe his word? Let me get to at least to the scripture I'm getting to. All right. So we're to be in obedience as unto the Lord, to kings, to governors, and that God will help them to deal with evildoers. And there should be praise to well-doers, because it is the will of God, doing good to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, we are not to have our freedom as a cover for evil, but we're to be slaves to God. We're to honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. He doesn't say if it's a good king or a bad king. He says honor the king. And I got to admit, the church has really let the ball fall on this. And it is hard. When you feel like somebody is attacking, when you feel like somebody is hurt, whether it's a governor, a teacher, a principal, your boss, the Bible says God can only operate when we honor authority. We don't honor what they're doing. We don't even honor their spirit they're operating from if it's evil. Amen? We honor the position so God can move and be in charge. And what we're doing is we're keeping the evil out of our heart and the judge out of our heart and the opinion out of our heart. And how many know we all need to repent right now? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Servants, be obedient to your masters in all fear, not only to those who are good and forbearing, but to the perverse ones. He does mean real servants. He means employees. Don't be trashing your boss. Don't be trashing the company. Amen? Because God says, be obedient in fear and reverence, even to the perverse ones. Why? Because he's going to take care of you in it. He's not making you a victim. He's showing you, if you do this my way, I'll take care of you. If you do this my way, I'll get you another job. If you do this my way, you'll be a light in darkness. If you do this my way, I'll get them all saved. God is basically saying these things will keep evil out of your hearts. That's what this is saying. Do this my way. Keep the evil out of your heart. So Satan can't be setting you up as a bully or as a victim. So Satan cannot be setting you up to hurt you. Amen? It's like we're in a kingdom. We can do this. That's how big God is. For this is a grace. If because of consciousness toward God, anyone bears grief, suffering unjustly. Here's what God says if there's injustice. There's grace to suffer injustice for believers. There is no grace to suffer injustice if you're not a believer. Can I tell you something? If you've suffered injustice, you are being prepared to handle the persecution that's coming on the church. And you can be a light to the church instead of a victim who gets beat up in the whole thing. Amen? If what's meant for evil, God will turn to good. If I learn to walk in love, if I learn to walk above the injustice, if I learn to suffer and recognize that God has a way to get me through this and to change me in this and to empower me in his revelations, in his understanding, to be light in darkness, then the enemy cannot get to me. God is showing us how he has a way with grace to stop evil from getting in our hearts. Amen? I'm telling you, what we're going through right now in the whole world, we need to really guard our hearts by obedience to the word of God, because evil is getting in Christians left and right now. Amen? Evil is finding. I am so proud in the right way of the, I'm so proud to be of the same race of the people at that church in South Carolina that are doing this God's way. And my prayer is that they don't give in to the political correctness and make this something where God doesn't get the glory. I mean, block off evil from having its way in this. Block it off. And if you want to know my personal opinion on taking down the Confederate flag, I think any symbol of hate does not need to stand in this nation, period. If you want to have free speech on your car, then put it on your car. But it should not be in public places, because there's no reason to have. I am so glad that we had that war, and I am so glad that the North won. We could not, we would be years and years behind where we are now had that war not happened and stop the injustice and cruelty that was happening in this nation, with torture and pain and just unbelievable hatred towards human beings. And that God would bring us here and get us saved and call us to be one. And all these years later, we are buying into the lies of the enemy. It's got to stop. And if I could go and tear the flag up myself, I would. And only somebody who's trying to hold on to hurting somebody else cares about that flag. Oh my gosh, I just took off your sticker for your NRA and I just brought down the Confederate flag. And she calls herself a Republican. Well, no, I don't. I call myself a woman of God who actually thinks abortion is a worse crime than homosexuality. And I will not stand on a platform or put anyone in office who will kill babies and serve bail blatantly and say it's okay. I would rather be discriminated against. I would rather be poor. I would rather be never succeed in life than to kill babies at the expense of success and money and education. Amen? I want to think like God thinks. When is the church going to get free from being manipulated and controlled by the spirit of Baal and then call it God and stay divided and full of hate and try to justify it? For what glory is it if you patiently endure while sinning and being buffeted? But if you are suffering for doing good, then patiently endure, because there will be grace from God. Do not become evil because evil is attacking you. Do not become evil because evil is considered acceptable. Be light in darkness, even if they try to put out your light. Only the church can do this, you guys. All right. Who did not sin? Jesus, he did not sin. He did not participate in witchcraft. No guile was found in his mouth. Who haven't been reviled. Here it is. That's what I was getting to. He was put down in his reputation. They tried to make you think he wasn't the Son of God. They tried to make you think he was a blasphemer. They tried to make you think he was a criminal. They tried to make everyone think he was horrific and hated truth. They trashed his reputation. But he did not put down their reputations in return. Suffering. Ready for this? He did not threaten. But he gave himself up to him, the Father, who judges righteously. He himself carried up in his body our sins. Onto the tree. That dying to sins, we might live to righteousness. Of, ready for this? By his wound you are healed. You know what's so cool? I didn't read all the way to that when I was putting this message together. And that's what I started with. And that's where God's ending this, about what he did on that cross to set us free from these evils that are coming at us, bullies, or make us victims. Amen? And I refuse. And I want all evil, I want all malice, I want all reviling, I want it out of my mouth and out of my heart, and then it will be out of my mouth. And everything about poor me, and I'm suffering, and this isn't fair, and somebody come and help me, and all this victim stuff, I want it crucified with Christ, because I am an overcomer. I can suffer. I can suffer unrighteousness, and I can glorify God in it. And if I'm called to suffer unrighteousness, then let it be truly suffering because of righteousness. If I'm suffering because of righteousness, which means I am in right standing with God and I am doing what he's showing me to do and I'm living the life he wants me to live, and if I still suffer, I am going to have grace that's going to glorify God. And even in that place of suffering, I am being made like Christ, and I am going to be light in darkness that's going to shine brighter than I would have ever shown had I not gone through this suffering. For you were as sheep gone astray, so now turn back to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We went over. I didn't even get to the teaching I have. Wait till you see the teaching we have where Paul is talking about the high priest not recognizing who he is and he repents. And we have a whole teaching on a whole on Samuel and David and about Abigail and Abigail's husband who reviled David. But David listened to the wisdom of Abigail and did not retaliate, and God took care of things. So we'll finish that next time. How many learned something? Amen. So, Father, we just come before you. I just want to open your arms. It's like, Lord, just help me. Get these things out of my heart. I just see the Lord tonight, and he's taking a lot of people up to the cross. As you've got your arms open, you just know, I am being drawn to take this bitterness and place it on the cross. I'm being drawn to take this anger and place it on the cross. I'm being drawn to take this bullying and put it on the cross. I'm being drawn to take this poor me and put it on the cross. I'm being drawn to separate myself from what sin created in me and to receive the healing for my wounds. The healing for my wounds that caused me to be a bully. The healing for my wounds that caused me to be a victim. I want to receive that. And it comes by me opening my heart to what happened at the cross and letting God take the bitterness out. God, you didn't mess up. You healed me before I was wounded. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for healing me before I was wounded. Thank you for making a way of escape from feeling like a victim. Thank you for making a way of escape from responding like a bully. I step away from my sin. I step away from this false identity. I forgive those who came against me. They were just responding to their own inner victim and their inner bully. They were just responding to the enemy. And they need the cross. And they need freedom. So Lord, I lift them before you. I ask you to heal their wounds. I ask you to set them free. I ask you to get me out of the entanglements that all these relationships that are bullying and victim have brought me into, so that I can be light in darkness. And I embrace that I am yours, that I am a holy priest, that I'm your elect, that I'm your possession. There's nothing greater